Hey moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to nine, and 26-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, The 4-Hour School Day, How You and Your Kids Can Thrive in the Homeschool Life, and Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, a devotional written specifically for homeschool moms. If you've read The Unhurried Homeschooler and enjoyed it, I really want to encourage you to check out The 4-Hour School Day because it's like an expanded version of The Unhurried Homeschooler. You can find all three of those books at Amazon. You can find them at my website, dorendawilson.com, and you can find The 4-Hour School Day at any of your favorite booksellers in addition to the two places that I mentioned. I also want to let you know that I have an online mentoring course. And in this budget-friendly mentoring course, I encourage moms to simplify, slow down, and enjoy their homeschool days with confidence and courage. This online mentoring course will include workshops that help moms grasp what unhurried homeschooling looks like during each of their children's developmental stages, along with lists of resources that I've found helpful over the years. The videos can be watched whenever it works for you. The course also includes extra workshops on mom self-care and nurturing your marriage throughout the homeschool years. I really encourage you to check that out. I'll leave a link in the show notes, or you can just go to theunhurriedhomeschooler.thinkific.com. Well, moms, today we're going to be talking about exploring nature truths with our kids. I've invited my friend Sherry Seligson to join us. And before I have her jump in here with us, I want to give you a little introduction because I know that I always like to know a little bit about the person before I listen to them because I think it just makes it so much more interesting. And Sherry and I have been friends for a few years now. And she is a kindred spirit. If you've ever heard her speak at any of the conferences, I'm sure you have loved her because we are so on the same page. But she is a 21-year veteran homeschool mom of 4 children, a wife to husband Dave, who is wonderful, by the way, and a Christian. She's also a marine biologist with pre-med bachelor and a master of education degrees. Before being promoted to motherhood, the best job of all, Sherry worked as a marine biologist at Walt Disney World's Living Seas, publishing shark behavior research. She's authored Apologia's Exploring Creation with General Science, Marine Biology, and Internships for High School Credit, instructional video courses for Apologia's science curricula, and companion curricula for feature films, including Dolphin Tale and Warhorse. An international conference and retreat speaker, Sherry uses transparency, truth, and humor to encourage moms on their homeschool journey and to teach families and students the importance and excitement of studying God's creation. So like I said before, if you've ever heard Sherry speak, it's just like sitting across from someone over coffee and just having a wonderful chat. And I just love her heart. And like I said, we have been friends for a few years now, and she really is the real deal. And she had mentioned a while back that she wanted to write a devotional based on seeing God in nature. And I was super excited about it. Couldn't wait for it to come out. And I'm happy to share with you that it is finally available. And so we're going to talk about this topic today. But before we do that, I want to tell you, I was actually looking over the book and I love it. It's so well done. I love the watercolor on the cover and even the font and the way it's all laid out. It's just so beautiful and easy to read. And these nature truths are actually based on passages of scripture as opposed to one verse, which I love because it's more like a Bible study. Like you're really actually studying a passage and you're gaining a broader and deeper understanding of God's word. I also feel like it would be great for older kids and even be to be used as part of not just for Bible, but also for writing. So there's just so many different things you can use this particular nature journal for. There is nature journaling involved in each of the chapters. I feel like it's a great light summer writing and nature journaling, which is just, this is the perfect time of year for this. And I think it's not just great for our kids, but it is really great for us as moms, because there's something really special and unique. And I just really feel like God led when we are engaging with our kids in nature. And so, Sherry, welcome. I am so glad you're here today. Thank you for being with us.
I'm so glad to be here, Dorinda. And I just love sitting down with you, having a cup of coffee, even though we're doing it virtually right now.
That's right. I love it too. I was like, well, you know, it's like, we're just here. I'm visiting with a friend and we get to include everybody in the conversation.
Yes.
So tell me, in your book, what do you mean when you say you see God's fingerprints in creation?
Well, this has kind of been the journey that I've taken since I had my background in science. I was a young believer in college. I started reading the Bible at the same time I was reading all about how man said we got to be here without a God. I was attending a secular college at the time. Mm-hmm. And it just started me on this apologetic journey and realizing that God's word, you know, God made everything. And so when he uses his word to tell us about himself and his character and what he has for us, he knows how everything works because he's the author of it all. He made mm-hmm. it all. And so he actually gave us two types of revelation. His general revelation is his creation, and his special revelation is his word. And we can actually learn more about what that special revelation is, his word, by understanding about how our world works. God's a God of order. God has organization in his creation. And so the more we understand about our world, the better we can embrace and see his fingerprints of having made it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't happened by chance. It wasn't created out of nothing without an actual creator speaking it into being. And so I love Romans 1:20 that says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." And here's the point, "being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Being understood from what has been made. So when we see God's creation, God's nature, God's world, we see his creative fingerprints in it. And the more we study about it, the more we see more about his character, what he has for us. And it just opens up and expands our knowledge of biblical truth.
And I love that, because that equips us to engage where we are more effectively.
Yes, and I think that you know, the angle that you were using from as a study with kids or teens, most teens, actually most children of all ages, love being outside and love exploring. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if I think parents do too, there's something fascinating about, I don't know, watching some otters swim by. If you're walking by a river and you see some otters swim by, pretty much everybody's going to stop and look, right? Because it's fascinating. Or when we see a rainbow in the sky, how many people pause and say, "Look at the rainbow"? You may have seen it hundreds of times before. But it's a beautiful natural phenomenon that God has placed in the sky for us to see and marvel at. And that wonder is something that gets our attention. And I think that that gives us a great jumping off point to talk to our children about this, to learn about our world, to even expand it into a writing project, like you said, or a journaling project or an art project or something, to learn more about, or science, of course, can be expanded as well.
Sure, sure. And I'm also thinking, you know, what we're doing is also encouraging observation skills, you know, we're encouraging our kids to notice things and to see, you know, when something happens, like a rainbow shows up in the sky, that it is a good thing to stop, to notice it, and to acknowledge what it stands for. That God always keeps his promises, and just ponder that for a few minutes, reflect on that. And what a gift from the Lord for our kids to be able, and a gift we can give them as they walk out their relationship with the Lord as adults. They're not in so much of a hurry and so caught up in everything that they aren't sort of wired. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. But we train and teach our children how to observe and look at the world and how to take it in. And so the ability to just stop and to do that is really a gift for our kids, because our world is, we're moving so quickly. And creation just reminds us that God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have that stability. The seasons, they come and they go, and but they come and they go every year. And, you know, yes, we can count on it. And so it's something we can count on in a world that's ever changing. And we can count on the fact that, as in the symbol of the rainbow, he always keeps his promises, and that reignites our faith and helps anchor our faith. So this whole idea of engaging our kids in observing what's in nature and reflecting on it is really a gift for them.
Mm, I think so too. I hope it, like you said, it helps to develop in them a habit of mm-hmm. of observation, of questioning, of wonder, though,
yes,
and thinking. And we get so distracted with so many other things pulling at our attention. When you're out taking a walk with your children or just sitting on the back porch and watching the sunset, mm-hmm. there's that time to ponder and mm-hmm. to start conversation. And our minds are quieted mm-hmm. in a way that's different than being indoors. There's just something about it. And it's not magical, but it's the way that God wired us mm-hmm. to be with him and to identify him and to worship him.
So absolutely,
that's
yes.
part of this whole idea of this devotional is it's called a devotional, but like you said, it's really an opportunity to build a way of life and mm-hmm. to continue to foster those both relationships, worship, and delving into scripture and asking God to show you his truth.
Yeah, I love that. And what a great way to do that. It's like an on-ramp to all kinds of conversations and all kinds of experiences together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And something else I did that will be as a free available, I'm not sure whether they're going to make it downloadable or printable or something like that, but it's going for every chapter, every lesson, there is a hands-on activity that students will be able to do to further explore the science concept
right.
if mom and dad want them to,
right.
or if the kids want to.
Right.
So it just adds, it's. I don't want to say unit study because it's not.
Right.
It's really truly a devotional, but it's really for families, parents to use as best for their household.
Absolutely.
And so I want to make it versatile, but mm-hmm. really, really tangible and rich as much as possible.
I love that because that is something that is such a privilege of homeschooling is that we can take these tools and we can determine what works best for our family in this particular season. And maybe you'll use it in another season and you'll use the other pieces to it. But that's the freedom that we have as homeschooling moms. And I just love that. This morning, Silas, our 17-year-old, and I were reading, we started reading Proverbs because, you know, we just were like, you know, you're a young man and what do young people need? They need wisdom. And Proverbs is full of wisdom, but we ran across that verse that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And we were reading in the study notes how we can, like you said, everybody can look at nature and enjoy it. But as believers, we can, because we have God's word, that special revelation, in addition to the general revelation, mm-hmm. We can know him so much more broadly and so much more deeply because he's given us his word. So I love that. So I'm wondering how nature truths related to the wonder and awe of God.
So here's something that I feel like is a really important point about observing our world. When we see complexity and organization, they point to a creator. And I mm-hmm. think that our children are being, you know, pummeled more than ever in our culture that there is no God, that things mm-hmm. happen on their own, that it's pure fact, that evolution has occurred on its own without... and. Frankly, you know, this is a completely side issue, but there's a lot of major scientific problems with that mm-hmm. theory. Mm-hmm. But I love to use the example of if you're walking down the forest or in a forest with your children and you come across a boulder, and on the boulder is this beautifully carved word that says hello, and you see that. I'll ask the kids, so could that have happened just from erosion and rain? Or maybe a branch cracking, causing the rock to crack. And it's very obvious that seeing a carved word, hello, meant there must have been a carving a carver, one who made it, because it's information. It's detailed, it's organized, it's complex in that those shapes actually mean something. They have information in them. That means there's a creator. And so the more we learn about this world and the more organization and order there is, the more is revealed about God's power to have spoken it all into being and to be upholding it today. To me, that's the big bang. God said, right. Let there be light.
Boom, I love that.
And there it was. You know, let there be waters, and boom, and it was there. And he's upholding it. He didn't just make it. He is ever present. So Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's the quantum physics verse of the Bible. All things are held together by our Lord. If he removes his hand from us, we fall apart. Right. And so even though I feel like I'm falling apart because we're in a fallen world,
right,
we are really being upheld daily by our Lord. And for our kids to see that and realize that God is ever present, all powerful, all the time, spoke it all, the power and the wonder and the awe come into play there. And so that's what I want our children to understand, and actually us as parents to understand as well, the importance of that.
Yeah, because when we recognize the awe and the wonder of God, it's like that verse that talks about keeping the Lord ever before us, and we realize that he is God and we are not. And the more we live as though that is actually true, the less anxiety we have, I feel like, because we know God's a good God and he does all things well. And I don't have to, you know, control everything. I can entrust things to this awesome and wonderful God. And that is, again, something we can gently and just sort of slowly convey to our kids as we are, you know, going through these nature truths together and recognizing these things in creation. Again, you mentioned earlier a habit. You know, we're making a habit of, wow, look at that, and we instantly think of God. You know, that's what we want our kids to do. But the bigger God is, I think, the more stable, you know, in our own minds and hearts, you know, when we recognize him for who he really is, the less problems we have, the less anxiety we have. And, you know, in a world that's full of anxiety and all these quote unquote reasons to worry, we want to give our kids reasons to trust. And that's what I love about this. So how can we say that all of creation is for us? Isn't this all part of the fall?
Yeah, you know, I kind of alluded to that we do live in a fallen world, but even in our world's fallen condition, because of course our world is full of sin from the initial Adam and Eve sin, it is not perfect. And so we have, you know, disease and weeds in our garden, and we get sick and we eventually die. But the design of this world, you know, God in his amazing foreknowledge, he knew us. He designed this world to keep us. He foreknew us, meaning that he set up all things to prepare us to live in these conditions. Mm-hmm. For example, Exodus 2:25, God saw the people of Israel and he knew. And then he said in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So when we look at our world and we see, as you mentioned earlier, the cyclic nature of the water cycle and the seasons and the oxygen cycle, the nitrogen cycle, all of those are actually there to keep us alive, to keep us here on this planet, on this world, until God has had us complete the assignment that he has for us. Mm-hmm. And so he has made things to sustain us. Even our water molecules, they have such a unique structure that water can exist in all three phases of matter naturally, solid, liquid, and gas, naturally in our world, in clouds and water vapor and in ice as snow and rain. If it did not do that, we would not be able to survive. So God created all of these little bits and pieces, things we can't even think about, smaller than we can see, to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. He kept the gas giants. You ever wonder why we have planets in our solar system besides ourselves? Scientists are just now learning, it's for us. When we have Saturn and Uranus and Neptune and Jupiter, the gas giants that are way out there in the edges of our solar system, they actually have such a massive gravitational force that when extra space debris comes into our solar system, it gets pulled into them and they take the hit. So we in the inner areas are more protected. In fact, if Jupiter were to disappear today, its gravitational pull, believe it or not, on Earth is enough. It would be enough that we would actually start spiraling out of our orbit. It's there for us. Mm. And so we're not the center of everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think that's important too.
Right.
We're the center of our solar system, but it is there for us. God is sustaining us. And the more we see details revealed in nature and even in God's word has so much science involved in it. So when we understand scientific principles, for example, you're probably very familiar with grafting mm-hmm. and how we're grafted right. into the body of Christ. And when you look at what's actually happening to a grafted branch coming into the tree and what's going on there, it explains or expands our knowledge of right. what God meant. Because God made those trees, God knows how they work. And so he's using these analogies and it just makes them that much richer. So even though we're living in a fallen world, all of creation around us is there to sustain us and keep us as we complete the assignments that God has for us while we're here. On
I love that. That just is so such a revealing of his love and his intention. And it really blows my mind because I think we've not done one single thing to deserve it.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's grace upon grace upon grace. And, you know, we live in a culture that's complaining all the time and just being able to recognize these gifts that God has given us and the graces that he showers upon us just brings us to a completely different frame of mind, which is one of thankfulness and gratitude. And we all know that that's far better and far healthier for us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And again, a gift we can give our children, just, you know, recognizing the graces of God and just being thankful for them. So I love that. Oh, I cannot wait to dive into this. I kind of perused it. And even some of the things that I read a little more deeply, I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to totally like completely dive into this, Nature Truths book, because I think I'm going to learn so much.
Don't we all as homeschool parents learn
yes,
so much?
Yes. I kind of quit doing this because people gave me a funny look, unless you're homeschooling, you don't get it. But I would say to them, oh my goodness, yes, I have learned far more than the kids. And what I meant by that was like, I'm sort of either relearning or newly learning things the public school never taught me and or things outside of the quote unquote educational realm. I've learned so much, you know, I learned things about myself that I, you know, I'm sure at the moment wished I didn't know, but.
Well, it's definitely a lesson in humility and grace and all of those things that I'm so grateful for, but were kind of hard to hear and realize that, going through the process, but
yes,
thank the Lord we did.
Exactly. But this is one of the benefits is being able to walk alongside of our kids and be reminded maybe of things we had learned in the past but had forgotten, or we learn new things and we learn them with our kids, which is really fun. It's just yes. so much fun to share those moments, you know, with them, and so many moments throughout all of those years that they just add up to just this amazing experience. And so I love, you know, resources like this that help us do that. But I have one last question for you. Why do you think that so many Christians are afraid to study science principles? Because we see that a lot.
Yes. And I will not get on a soapbox for this, but I will say.
Go ahead, Sherry. go ahead. You have the moment. Go for it.
you know, it's very understandable because it's taught in a very matter-of-fact way that, of course, we know it's fact that evolution is occurring. And you know, people who are only concerned about tangible things they can see and touch, and that there is no metaphysical anything, we can be fearful of those smart people who say mm-hmm. those kinds of things because they sound very smart, and, mm-hmm. and many of them are, and they have lots of letters after their names, and many of them have British accents, which makes them sound even smarter. So I understand it, but I think as believers, we feel like, well, that's not our realm to know about. We just, you know, we have to trust the faith. And yes, there always will be an element of faith. And I think that's God designed. But we are afraid to reach out and explore our world. You know, when you were talking about building observational skills in your kids and having them ask questions and logically have discussions, those are concepts we want our kids or traits we want our kids to have as adults that will benefit them everywhere, including mm-hmm. studying their world. Some of the greatest discoveries in history, in the science realm, have been from Christian men and women who were scientists who wanted to learn more about God's world. By studying his world, they would learn more about God. And as we've moved away from that, scientists are now learning more about God, the world, to become famous or to make money or to publish.
Right.
And we're not getting a lot of the groundbreaking discoveries because the motivation is not there for the exploration of the awe. And so I think as families are concerned in Christian households, they just don't want to go there. So they just kind of stay away from it because they don't know how to give an answer. And it's very, there's lots of great resources available to help showcase some of the problems with evolutionary theory. But they'll start to say, well, maybe God made the stuff, but then the stuff put itself together via evolution on its own. And I think that diminishes God's power. If God could speak something out of nothing, then of course God can put it together and is upholding it. So there's a lot of scientific problems from the standpoint of evolution. So even evolution in action examples like superbacteria. Superbacteria are actually mutated weaker bacteria. That's why they can't take in antibiotic. They're not evolution, more information, better, stronger organisms. So I think that we as the church, we in our households need to give our children a reason to be able to reason through this and to be able to apologetically explain why they believe what they believe and not be afraid of it. We shouldn't be afraid. If God truly made the world, then of course he has made it so that we can find evidences of his fingerprints. And we have. They're out there. We can learn more about his creation by studying it and seeing him in it. So it's something we just need to be having those conversations and not be fearful that we're going to get an answer that might show us that God isn't there. Because let me tell you, the more you study about it, the more you see he truly is the God of all, the creator of all.
Right. And I feel like Nature Truths is a wonderful way to start that process, you know, to just start there and then build out from there. If it's something, moms, that you've never really quite engaged in yet, I would encourage you to get Nature Truths to get yourself sort of started down that road. And I'm wondering, Sherry, if you would share with me, and I'll put it in the show notes, a few of the resources that would help them maybe beyond the Nature Truths, what you would suggest maybe next for them to maybe slowly start to learn to apologetically explain why we believe what we believe.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great.
There are many, you want to do it now or we'll put that at the end?
Yeah. Share them right now and I'll share them in the show notes as well.
Okay. I mean, there's several organizations that I think are solid science organizations doing real science and yet they're creation, based and they showcase particularly the evolution creation debate. So Creation Ministries International, Institute for Creation Research, I can let you know and you can pop that in the show notes as well.
Sure.
There's a lot of great creation-based science curriculum organizations that put out good science. You know, I'm part of Apologia Educational Ministries, but because we're homeschoolers and I believe homeschoolers have many different ways to learn, therefore there should be many different type of curricula available to them. I don't believe that there's only one curriculum you could use. There's other really good curricula providers out there that you can choose for that fits your household best that are creation-based and apologetic-based. So so we can put those in as well.
Perfect.
But there's a lot of resources.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm sure those first two you mentioned right there would keep moms busy for a really long time. But yes, we'll go ahead and include those and whatever other ones you think of between now and putting out the podcast, getting the podcast out there live. I'm coughing. Excuse me. Where can moms find Nature Truths?
So Nature Truths will be available at the beginning of June, and which we're almost there. The beginning of July. The beginning of July.
Okay.
And you can find it on Amazon. You also can find it at the Celebrate Kids website, so celebratekids.com.
Wonderful. And then also ways that they can connect with you.
Yes, and you can also get those books through my website too, sherryseligson.com. And I also am on social media under Sherry Seligson. I have a YouTube channel that I started. I'm kind of going between my YouTube channel and Apologia's YouTube channel. So Apologia World, you can find some stuff I'm putting up there. So I'm pretty much out there. You just first and last name, Sherry Seligson, and you'll find me there.
Awesome. I'm going to have you close in prayer.
Okay, because you need living water right now.
I
and,
do, yes.
Real water.
Thank you.
I will close us in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day, for the opportunity to talk about your world, your creation, your mighty hand. And I'm grateful for the families that are listening. Lord, that you would bless them and encourage them as they raise their children, as they seek to do what you would have before them, this hard, wonderful, worthwhile journey of parenting, of sharing your truth and your word with others, Lord, and living life to give you glory. Thank you for Dorinda and all of the beautiful ministries that she has to families. I ask that you would continue to bless her hand in her work. And we love you, Lord, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.